Welcome! Welcome, 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 welcome. To another episode of Trust Me, I Have a Beard. It's Chris here, as always. The only one that's gonna host this show, you know. Thanks for tuning in and checking us out, checking out Checkotastic, that's on Spotify now. This is on Spotify as well. Yeah, and hitting the Facebook page, I do see it ramping up. Not as far as the likes, but as far as people viewing it. Yeah, that's just kind of obviously just an aggregator. So you can go on facebook.com/ETAcast. Yeah, it's definitely been a while. It's been a while. And if you listen to the last episode of whatever podcast, I think it was Techotastic. I reported in my collarbone is healing up, and as of right now, recording this, I'm able to do push-ups again. I'm able to use my arm without too much pain. So it was a good, 3.5 months of not being able to move my arm up and down. So yes, I'm happy to report that to everyone. Breaking your collarbone does suck. And I mean, breaking a bone in general sucks. Mostly because you're not moving it and your body's like straining afterwards when you start moving it. So I think that pain was, it was really annoying. It was, you know, like someone pinching, constantly pinching me. And I sometimes still get it, but I think that's just the muscles being stretched out and stuff and being worked and massaged again. So I'm happy I'm able to use my arm again. I've got a huge lump on my collarbone. And when I do articulate it to where my collarbone kind of pops out, as anyone can do, if you move your arm up and down, your collarbone moves. It looks really weird. It looks all like morphed around and stuff, and it just looks weird. But hey, it works. I don't recommend breaking a bone. It's not a fun process, but it's very, very remarkable how quickly your body reacts to it and responds to it. That's basically going to be the topic of the show, is response. Responding, your response to something, and how responding to things really increases your integrity as a as your own thought process, you know, sort of conforms itself. Before we jump into that topic, though, let's go ahead and talk about a little bit of the current events as we do here on Trust Me, I Have a Beard. Some of the current events that happened recently. The first one, this happened really recently. The condo collapsed in Miami, Florida. It's got to be all over the news, really. But I really wanted to talk about this because it points out the glaring problem of the infrastructure in America. This isn't one anomaly. This is the domino effect of quickly building something, you know, establishing regulations where they're not really beneficial or, you know, actually helping out the people that invest or live there or whatever it is. You know, it's essentially people that want to put up a huge structure to go ahead and sell it afterwards. I mean, that's all what condos are, right? The condos are privately owned apartments on beachfront property. I think that's the terminology of it. And it's just really sad to see. This was a 12-story building that was already known that it was sinking, so there was tons of paperwork about this building itself, the entire building, sort of sinking into the foundation, because it is right on the beach. You know, if anyone's not familiar with Florida beaches, they build the condos right on the edge, essentially, on the beach. So, you know, you only have to walk maybe 40 feet sometimes. Sometimes, like, 20 feet, you're right on the damn beach. It's crazy. So, needless to say, obviously, when storm surge happens, devastating winds that bring up the tide even more, flooding happens quite frequently in the peninsulas in Florida. And this is a huge problem that's going to happen in Florida itself because of the infrastructure that has been built. I believe that condo was built in the 80s, in the early 80s, and like I said, it was noted that it was sinking, and it's sort of like just turn the other cheek. That's what it feels like, and that's what it feels like a lot of the stuff is going on. You look at bridges. There's tons of examples here in America where there's glaring problems. You don't have to be a structural engineer to understand that a huge crack in a bridge is like a problem, or some missing bolts is a problem, or that rust melting away the fucking beams is a problem. It's interesting observation, because when these issues happen, at least here in America, they're so quick to get in front of everyone, put on the suit and tie, and say, "Listen, I'm Johnny's structural engineer, and we're gonna make sure that this doesn't happen again, and this, that, and the other." And yes, yes, yes. It's just, it seems so contrived, and it's almost, you know, it's the way of America amnesia effect, where something happens, a big tragedy happens, we sort of move on even the next day. And because not only do more tragedies happen, unfolds, but we just kind of, just, it's just kind of in our demeanor to just move on to the next topic. Whether that be a Tide Pod challenge, or a mass shooting, or you know, a fucking UFO that was seen in Arkansas or something. It's an amnesia effect that this the American culture has. And the placating of, you know, subduing everyone, rather, by putting someone up and saying, you know, "Hey, well, this is not going to happen again. Not on our watch." It's like, well, it's been going on for how many years? Decades? And I witnessed this firsthand. Living on that side of Florida, like I said, there's a lot of infrastructure built right next to the beach. There's a road known as the A1A that runs along the coast, and in certain parts it runs extremely close. One hurricane blew through and completely washed away a couple miles of this road, and it really showed, you know, they just put this road just to have A1A to run through it. There was no integrity underneath the road, nothing like that. It was bound to collapse, and it's really sad because, you know, they build these properties right in front of the beach, and of course, you know, being Monopoly, that's desirable property. So you're spending millions of dollars for these houses. It's sad. It really is. Not only does Florida have this problem where the infrastructure is built on sandy foundations, but it also has a huge sinkhole problem due to the phosphorus developers and all the mining happened that was going on decades ago and still going on to this day, where they fucking ruined the aquifer. And, you know, water companies draining out the aquifer, there's huge caves in underneath Florida that are just sitting there on relatively small, thin pieces of earth that, you know, houses are above. And it's just, once again, it's a matter of time. What are you going to do? Put a bunch of fucking steel beams in the ground? It's only a matter of time. So something else that was relevant was Joe Sleepy Boy Biden is got some sort of infrastructure bill passed, and this kind of obviously directly relates to what we were just talking about. Over $1 trillion was essentially agreed on, I believe, over 4 years or something. And, I think it's a good thing that finally this country starts understanding that if you're going to print out money, then you might as well fucking allocate it to something that's going to benefit the overall population. Because a lot of the money printing that goes on, and this shouldn't come to a surprise to anyone, it doesn't benefit really the common person that lives in the country. And even though the local governments, that's how it's supposed to be set up, the local government's supposed to be, taking care of the roads and repairing the bridges, the fact of the matter is they're not. They haven't gotten it done. Whether or not if it's corruption, there's not enough money being allocated, whatever it is, I think it's a good thing that the government is able to step in and sort of fix a huge problem that's existing now for forever. I mean, since the interstate system's been built, we sort of look the other way, and as far as in just overall drivability on roads is pretty fucking terrible in America. Now, what it's going to do for the economy is a whole different thing, and we'll just have to see exactly what unfolds as far as the Federal Reserve keeping the interest rates at the current rate or increasing them or not. As I said in Decotastic, the inflation has hit everywhere, and you can't pinpoint it to one thing. It's really resolves itself to the rampant spending in introducing more money into the supply. Not only that, there's obviously other things that are shaking up everything, like cryptocurrency, and only adding to the inflation value, really, overall. Because crypto really doesn't have a place right now in modern society. It's not a widely accepted currency. Yes, some coffee shops accept it. You might be able to buy a fucking Tesla with it now. Again, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, the technology itself hasn't been settled on. That all being said, it's a very risky bet to be messing around with what's going on. You're playing the game or you're not, and unfortunately, prices around us are going up dramatically as far as the common day expenses, gas being the first one, food items being the second one. As well as everything else. I mean, used cars prices went up, everything else, houses, blah blah blah, everything. So it's definitely a worrying thing, and if I were anyone that wanted to hedge their bet, the classic way of doing it, and I've said it in Techotastic, is precious metals, because that is actual sound money. I don't think that'll ever go away, even with cryptocurrency. So, but I'm not a financial advisor, and this isn't financial advice. All right, yeah. The next topic, the shootings is really something I wanted to touch on. The randomness of it, the commonality of it, the leniency over the press, essentially. Sure, they'll focus on it, but they'll just move on to another, outrageous topic, such as, oh, it's voting rights here, this voting right bill. It's like, well, hold on here. People getting shot in the street aren't able to vote, so it seems like that's a more pressing issue right now. It's extremely worrisome to be in a sort of society where this is sort of the normal, where everyone kind of has to analyze each other in a way where we're so conditioned now to this random acts of violence where, hey, little Susie got shot. It's sad. It's very sad, but it's not the first time this happened. It's not the last time it's going to happen. And we all kind of know that now. And it's sort of the lines in the sand have been drawn as far as, hey, you either want more gun control or you don't. And the people that don't are extremely adamant on the fact that if you do anything to gun rights, you're taking away their freedom. In the sense that they're so brainwashed that, they can't really come to reason that having a bunch of bullshit laws all across the entire country, for instance, Texas just passed, anyone in Texas, any Texas citizens, I guess, can carry a handgun. No questions asked, you can go buy one, go carry it around, no problem. So it's all this ambiguity over, what state has which laws, which, what's the crime at on this state and that state. We really need a blanket effect in the entire country rather than being so fragmented on this very common sense issue. There's a lot of gun violence going on, especially random acts going on, people getting induced into road rage to the point where because they got their gun in the center console, they're gonna fire it off a couple times. Fuck it. It's wild. It's definitely not the culture I want to live in. And as far as the whole, politically correct woke culturism and stuff, you think that these people in particular would be pointing out the outrageous violence that's going on about this and the really sensible laws that needs to be reformed. But of course they're not, because it's all just a huge gigantic money making scheme, and it's a way to keep people divided. So going into our topic of the show, this kind of relates, because responding, the word respond is a shortened version of responsibility. And when people think of response and responsibility, we sort of separate the two rather than equating it. And I want you for a second to just equate the two. And if you already have been, excellent. So by equating the two, you not only have the responsibility of yourself, but you have the responsibility to respond. When someone presents something to you, especially when they're communicating, it's super important to, how do I say this without coming across as some sort of fucking guru or whatever. It's very important to just maintain yourself and not have to analyze the situation, essentially, because this is kind of where I'm getting. A lot of people these days feel like it's completely necessary and okay, as far as being accepting, to ignore each other, even when they are the initiator. I find this a lot, especially when it comes to online dating. There'll be someone that says, "Hey, let me get your phone number," and you're chatting, you're chatting, you're chatting. There's a lot of good conversation going on, and then randomly, just a couple of days will go by, and there's no conversation, and you yourself are wondering, "Well, what happened? Is this person, did they get kidnapped? What exactly happened?" And then just the energy of you thinking about everything is the wasted energy of that person not being responsible. And when people fail to see this, they go into defense mode. And I run into this all the time where I'll try to maybe call someone out on their lack of communication or their lack of response on a very simple question, for instance, like, how are you? How's your day going? And it's hilarious to get the responses where it's, oh, I'm very busy. My life is just so chaotic right now. And you're thinking too much out of it, or I'm sorry. You know, they'll apologize. I'm sorry. And, but they'll just do it again afterwards. So the observation of that really shows me that the response on responsibility is fragmented as far as the people that I encounter. And that's mostly online dating. So, but it also goes into the realm of work, professionalism, all these things. It goes into how you respond to things. I got into a minor fender bender. I mean, my car got pretty damaged. I am adamant that it's this guy's fault, given that all this scenario. Anyways, backing out, and he hits me. Didn't see him whatsoever. He's flying through the parking lot on the other side of the lane. And he jumps out of his truck, flailing his arms out, telling me I better have insurance. And I know, depending on my response, I mean, I don't really know this because I didn't do this, but if I did the same thing to him, his reaction would have been the next scale up, you know, getting my face, maybe pushing me a little bit, whatever. So, you know, I had to sort of analyze that situation and respond. And to respond with responsibility is to act instantly on that response. When you sit there and ponder over things like this, sure, it might be good to reflect on things. You might be too tired to think about something. Maybe the decision is too immeasurable at the time, and you need to go scale a mountain and go think about it. I totally understand that. But when people use the excuse of they're busy, oh, you know, hey, I'm working right now, 9 to 5, I'm busy, you know. I get it. Yeah, you're working 9 to 5, but what about the rest of the time? So you're really not busy. You're lying to yourself. You're just telling yourself that. You don't need to tell me that, because I know it's not true. So this just goes back into responding instantly. When you respond instantly, that's when you use response with responsibility, which to me is true intelligence. When you respond to something instantly, because everything that we do in our daily life is a reaction of things. And when you sit there and try to think about it and ponder over it, that's when you introduce the conditions and the biases, the prejudices that you might realize or might not realize. And going into all of this is important each and every day. And not let your response influence your decision from your previous day. For instance, you know, every single day is a present. I think I've said this before on the podcast. And it's important to approach each day like that, because your response might be, or more than likely will be, different, because you're constantly introducing that shadow of the past. You know, once again, I feel it's very strange that society has reverted to this, considering we have the ability to instantly communicate with each other, the ability to, connect to anything, verify whatever we need to as far as deductive reasoning is concerned, instantly, straight in our pocket. And it just blows me away that, you know, people feel like that it's still the same old excuse. I'm busy. Really baffles me. But when you live the way of instantly responding to your responsibility, you find it's a lot easier. You have a clearer mind, a more concise, decisive approach, obviously. And you act without any sort of regret. I could have backed out differently or whatever in that certain day, and it probably would have saved me from a busted taillight. But I didn't, and I'm not gonna sit there and reflect on that and go, you know what? Maybe it was my fault. Because I know that when I got in my car, I did everything I normally do, and the guy was driving on the wrong side of the road. We're not in England, over here in America. This isn't a parallel universe right now, where things are subtly different. So, you know, had he not been driving on that side, boom, instant response. It's not my damn fault. That's what I told the insurance company. I'm just gonna move on with my life. They think differently than whatever. I don't need to sit there and dwell on it. Well, you know what? They are right. They're just telling me this. No, it's their bullshit formula, all this other stuff. You instantly respond to things so you don't have to think about them later. That's the point. This is a kind of a short episode, and I apologize if there's a lot of background noise. It's raining over here. Now, as far as Nerds Galore is concerned, I have been thinking about ways to get it running, and in a caliber where it's going to be efficient and not ridiculously stupid. Because just to give anyone an insight on online stores, I've already talked about as far as drop shipping. That's in a previous episode, but as of right now, because of all the coronavirus, the shipping lane was blocked in the Suez Canal. There's still repercussions over that. It's a ripple effect. And a lot of the just sort of trade agreements, the shipping prices of things have gone dramatically up to the point where Amazon has honed down on their price structure. If I wanted to sell some strange light or something, you know, some LED cool thing or whatever, more than likely Amazon's going to have it, and they're going to have it for like a couple bucks cheaper, or maybe even just like 50 cents cheaper, but it's going to be free shipping and all this other great stuff, and you're not going to have to wait for weeks for it to be shipped from China. So they already have it at their shipping facility. That's like, you know, that's been their wet dream forever, is to have a bunch of products close by to anyone so they can deliver it to you quickly. And they're slowly honing in on that. And on top of the shipping prices, the idea of Nerds Galore was the main function of the store was to sell really, really cool, unique gadgets and gear for everything nerdy. Now we could still do that, but given this you know, conundrum, it's just not feasible. I would have to charge outrageous prices, and I just can't consciously do that and run adverts on it and have someone like stumble upon it and go, you know, I think I do need this crazy stupid LED thing. And they didn't cross-reference Amazon. They could have got it for like $30 cheaper or something. You know, it's this stuff happens all the time. I know I could do that, but I really don't want I want to run adverts to where people are clicking on a product and they're getting something very, very cool, unique, and at a price point where, you know, it just beats everyone else. So, I'm thinking about restructuring the store into more of a merchandise store, as far as, you know, t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, water bottles, pillows, all these things. And this involves print on demand. Now, this is a lot more feasible and viable as far as a small online store, because print-on-demand services are in the United States, and the price point is really, really good. So this is a way that anyone that's listening can get unique merchandise. If you like this idea, please let me know. I would like to get some feedback on it. I've kept the website around. I've been bummed out about it ever since creating it, because I created it in January 2020. Just a mere month afterwards was full on effect, lockdown action. Nothing's coming out, nothing's coming in. So it fucked up everything as far as what I wanted to do. Yeah, and it's always just been something like, what should I do now with it? So let me know what you think. And it's gonna be shipping worldwide with the print-on-demand stuff. This way, the listeners and the people that hit the website, because there's a lot of people from across the pond, or relatively from the United States, hit the website. People from China, Netherlands, Germany, even Australia. So it's really cool to see that. And if everyone wants to, just let me know. Let me know what you think. And this will be on the scale of merchandise as far as I want to collaborate with, unique influencers, maybe some small streamers, to where they don't really have the caliber of creating something unique for their channel, and I can sort of design something for them, create a hat for a nice price point. They'll have their own little section on the store. So this is a way to just sort of collaborate with people too. And that's been my idea of Nerds Galore as well. So yeah, let me know what you think. I don't mean to keep running on about that. And we'll see what happens with it. Anyways, you can always catch this on Spotify once again. Hit that like button on Facebook, so I know you're there. That's facebook.com/ETAcast. Next episode, we'll talk about something cool. Anyways, we'll see you next time here. And trust me, I have a beard. Remember, you got the ears. I got that beard. I recently shaved it, but now it's nice and back. All right? It's nice and back. I never shave it fully off, just so you know. And I love you, everyone. And you got the ears. I'll see you next time. And trust me, I have a beard. Cheers. Zaijian.